Welcome back to Greeks of the Globe. I'm your host, Andrea Nicola. In this episode, we finish off our two-part podcast on food Instagrammers. Today we chat to Nicoletta from Nicoletta's Kitchen, a Cypriot Instagrammer that started the page for fun and continues it as her side passion project. So firstly, thank you. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
It's really exciting to have another Cypriot on the show today.
Australia, I have to admit. Cypriot. We're a rare bunch. Yeah, there's a lot of Cypriots in London. I think they all just migrated over to the UK.
Oh, for sure. Especially because London, you would have so much more than us.
Yeah, it's true. But yeah, it's nice to meet a fellow Cypriot.
I thought we could start off with if you just wanted to tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. So I'm Nicoletta. I'm originally from London, born and bred. Both of my parents are from Cyprus. They migrated after the war. I moved over to Australia coming up to 6 years. A year after I moved, I met my husband, Pete, and now just living and creating a little life in Sydney. My day-to-day is a bit boring. I'm just a marketeer. I've worked for like various brands and just work on campaigns and yeah, different things like that. But my kind of side hustle or just passion project is, well, I've got a couple. Cooking, I'd say, is probably my number one. I love feeding people. I think it's my love language. And I've always danced. So you may have seen me dance around the kitchen for a bit of fun. But I also run a couple of fitness classes in Sydney called Opposize. I love Greek music. I love dancing. It brings me and so many other people so much joy. So, yeah, I love a bit of that too. You need to join me next time you're in Sydney. You got to come to a class.
Literally, I saw that actually. Do you know what's funny? Because I'm pretty sure, because I reached out to you a year ago, and I'm pretty sure one of the things I said to you was that the thing I liked on your page was that you always dance and make it look really fun, like while you're cooking.
So much fun. It's just having, yeah, that's all it is. It's having a bit of fun. And it's actually been quite funny how many messages I've received from so many different people saying, we love watching you dance, you make our day. I'm like, I did not, you don't know that until they tell you, because otherwise you think everyone just thinks you're a bit of a Muppet. But it's like, it's all about making it fun. Like, I don't take myself too seriously anyway. And yeah, just you come to a point as you grow and like as you adult where you just focus on everything that brings you joy, and cooking, dancing and cooking for people, feeding people, I'm known as the feeder amongst my friends, does that. So, yeah, I try to do as much of that as I can in my spare time.
Well, yeah, well, if you're the feeder, it seems like I do need a Sydney trip soon.
100%. I'll show you how to make my food with the food and all, no problem.
Perfect. No, so you said your side hustle was cooking. So you've got a page called Nicoletta's Kitchen. How did you start that initially?
With no kind of objective, really. So when was it? Maybe 2015. I started training. So I entered for my first London Marathon, and I started baking all these goods to fundraise for the charity I was running for. And my mate said, start an Instagram page and just, you know, share your bakes and inspire people to bake. And I was actually initially titled Nicoletta's Bakes. And then I think that lasted for a couple of years until I moved over here and slowly transitioned into Nicoletta's Kitchen, because I was just piling on the kilos, making these cakes and eating them. So I was like, I have to go a different direction. I need to change my strategy. So then started focusing more on the Cypriot traditional cooking that kind of I was inspired by my yaya and my mum. And it was just a really nice way, or it is a really nice way to kind of preserve everything that we were taught and preserve our culture, which I think is really important. And I actually learned something when a couple of years ago I was working with an Aboriginal foster care charity where I would go and teach cooking classes for a couple of days during the week. And it was the most fulfilling job ever. If I could go back to that, I would. And they actually taught me something, which was, if you look after culture, culture looks after you. And I just related to that so much and thought, to myself, like, you know, this, it's important to do that. It's important to look after our culture. Life changes so quickly, and the things that we learn from our yayades, our papudes, from our mum and dads are so important, and we should cherish and hold on to them and share that with friends, family, our children. So yeah, it went from, you know, marathon training and showing what I was baking to fundraise to something a little bit more meaningful.
Do you think it's quite important that, well, I feel like you would, considering you just said it, but the importance of preserving Cypriot recipes, like,
yeah,
is that definitely a huge impact now?
Yeah, and people, yeah, some people don't know what Cyprus is or where it is, because we're a small island, yeah, and a beautiful one. And if you don't know about it, it's, you know, it's awesome to teach someone about Cyprus. Yeah, and, you know, preserving culture, and if it's not important to someone, absolutely fine. And there's always going to be a you know, everyone's going to have different interests and, you know, things that they enjoy. But yeah, I think it's a nice way to bring nostalgia and memories of childhood into the kitchen, and because there's smells and tastes and, you know, different aromas and ingredients that can remind someone of a particular moment in their childhood, which can be really special. And it's just a way to, I guess, to touch the heart and, yeah, just spark a bit of joy.
Yeah, no, that's very true. Literally anytime I do something that like reminds me of home, or even like, because the last 2 years, Easter, like I haven't been able to go back home for Easter with my family, and the only way, I'm like, I'm not going to enjoy Easter if I don't cook. So like literally like the last 2 years now, it's a tradition for me now, because I've been making, like, before Easter I do all like the gulragia, all that sort of stuff, like the flounders, yeah, everything, yeah, that I would never have done before. But because if I don't do that sort of stuff, it doesn't feel like Easter.
Easter's such a special time for us Cypriots, Greeks. There's so much fuss centered around it. There's so many traditions. And if we don't do those traditions, how are we going to stay close to our culture and hold on to those memories? And similarly to you, like, Easter spent back at home is a big deal for us. And mum and I would always be making flounders. And, you know, you go to church on the Thursday, the Friday, the Saturday, and then you have the avolemono, and then you prepare for the big souvla. There's all these memories, and, you know, not just with food, but, you know, spending time with your family as well, your cousins, having the house full. Like, I love that. I love it when my house is full of people, everyone's enjoying themselves. It's noisy, it's buzzing. But, you know, having moved to Australia for 6 years, I've had to develop my own tradition, as hard as it is. And I always get upset over Easter because I miss my family the most during this time. But I've learned to make my own traditions and kind of held on to what my mum does, what she's taught me. And it's, I guess it's my way of having those memories live on, and just, you know, I'm going to teach that to my kids and hopefully they'll pass that on. It's just, yeah, ways to connect with your family and friends. It's, you know, it's special. It can be really special.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine. Like, I'm like, I struggled the last 2 years not being like at Easter with my family, let alone you. But I think, like, I guess because I always thought I'd just always go back, and because, yeah, I've learned that was the way it'd be easy. But
you don't appreciate it until it's gone.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I know, literally. And like this year, my cousin, he was on that. So I've like a couple family members here, and he was one of the people that were on that plane from Perth that ended up having to quarantine.
No way.
And he was going to have Easter here. So then I was like, not another year.
No,
I ended up inviting like all my uni friends and was like, you're coming to mine. We're going to do a souvla, because I'm not doing anything.
I bet they loved it. I mean, I'm assuming there were non-Greeks and non-Cypriots.
Yeah, there was no Greek or Cypriots, yeah.
And did they enjoy themselves?
Yeah, they loved it. They said Greek Easter is their favourite. They were like, Orthodox Easter is their favourite time of the year.
And the reason to preserve and hold on to what your mum taught you and all those traditions. Like, who doesn't enjoy eating and spending time with each other? Like, who doesn't enjoy that? One of the most amazing things about, I guess, having an Instagram page and a website is when people will message me and say, you know, I've never made flounders before, but you know, your video encouraged me to do it. And I made them for the first time and I took them to my mom and she loved them. Like, that's like a freaking big win for me. And like, gobsmacked when I receive so many messages from people doing them for the first time. Like, that's a massive thing. To me, it's pretty like, I'm just in awe. And it's just little things like that, like inspiring people to do something that you love, you know, just to bring them joy too. And that's just a nice thing, really.
Yeah. So when you first started doing this, you probably didn't think you'd get, you have quite a lot of followers. I was looking and I was like, that's pretty impressive.
It takes work though. Like it shouldn't be the end goal. Like
that's not where I was going with this. I just meant that like you must get a lot of messages and like that sort of stuff. When you started doing it, you started to do it just for fun, right? Mm-hmm. As you started doing it, like what made you realize you're like, oh, people are actually making my recipes? Like
probably when I made flaunes a couple of years ago. Yeah, I think that was the turning point for me. I was like, okay, there's people that don't know how to make these traditional Cypriot recipes, and there's people that are interested in learning. So, you know, if I can, you know, shed a bit of light and learn something and then, you know, teach that, it's awesome. We should, as humans, we should always be learning, never stop learning. And we can pass that on and get someone, you know, to feel proud about something. It's pretty fulfilling. Yeah, I think the flaunes was a big turning point for me where people were messaging me and saying, I made flaunes for the first time.
Yeah, that would be such a great feeling. Like, how did that make you feel? Like, if that was your turning point, like as soon as you did it, like what was the feeling afterwards?
Yeah, I was very excited and just... it was a really nice feeling. It's an awesome way to connect. So I guess you're not just connecting with people over food. You're connecting and inspiring people to do something that they've never done before. And, you know, some people say you should do one thing that you're scared of every day to grow. And I'm all for, you know, personal development and learning new things and that kind of thing. And I guess I'm happy to devote some of my time in having those conversations, like one-on-one conversations with people that may be struggling with their flauna pastry. I had a couple of people message me this year. They're like, oh my God, I don't know what I've done. It's gone all wrong. Can you help? And I'm there sending voice notes while I'm in the car with my husband next to me. And he's going, what are you doing? I'm like, everyone needs flauna help. You know, Easter time, I'm busy.
That's actually perfect. That's so good.
It's true though. I've noticed Greek Easter is my most busiest time for some reason.
Yeah, because everyone's like finally going through your messages and you're getting all the they're going through all your videos like that. You that's so good.
So I know to like block out some of my time, like take some annual leave off work and be like, guys, sorry, it's Greek Easter, I'm in demand.
The blog's got me busy. I've got like I can't work for the next month leading up to Easter.
Everyone with their flaunes, I'm committed.
That's great. Have you met lots of new people through this?
Yeah, you do. You do meet and you do connect with so many people. And I think especially during lockdown, we had the time to do that. And there's been occasions where I've met with other food bloggers and we've cooked together. How good's that? Like you've got, you know, two people or three people that share the same interests and you're learning different things from each other. So it's like a, you know, a virtual cooking club kind of thing. I taught myself how to make halloumi, which is bloody amazing, to be honest. And I was like, I have to do this. Like, if I'm going to do anything Cypriot, I've got to learn how to make halloumi. So I did that, read a bunch of articles, watched a bunch of videos, spoke to numerous amounts of theas and yayades on how they used to do it, and ended up doing a virtual halloumi cooking session with a friend. I call her a friend. Like I met her over Instagram. She also shares the same interest in you know, cooking and being in the kitchen. And we made it just like via FaceTime. And it was just the best thing. It was like so much fun and we both enjoyed it. It turned out really well. So yeah, there's just, you know, cool things like that.
What else have you had come up through the blog? Like,
oh, look, with, you know, practice in, talking to camera, like initially I can't even look at some of the videos that I've created. I'm just like, oh my gosh, cringe. But we all start somewhere and we can't be good at everything. I've had so many amazing opportunities that I'm, you know, never thought I'd be able to do or I would, you know, have the chance to do. The Sydney Markets projects that I've been doing have been so much fun, and that's just come about organically. I go to the Sydney Markets, like Paddy's Markets in Flemington every other week. And my father-in-law, Harry, started taking me initially because he's been going for years. And, you know, he would go to, you know, save a few dollars here and there. Immigrants and, you know, big families, you buy in bulk, it's a few dollars cheaper. It's worth going. And I love going, you know, you save a few dollars, why not? You meet so many amazing people. The produce is fresher and you go to the markets and it's actually a sensory experience. It's not just, you know, your standard supermarket shop and everyone's just walking around like zombies and then you get the crappiest service at the checkout. I'm including my self-checkout experience too. I don't give myself the best experience. But yeah, meeting people at the markets has just been amazing. And like working with the marketing team and doing a couple of recipe videos and like filming with them has been really cool. Currently got a foodie retreat coming up in a couple of months. We've got one in October. The plan was just to do one, and that sold out within a week, which totally gobsmacked by, but so awesome. Like, I can't wait to meet these people who are coming. So we've got a second one in November.
So what's the foodie retreat?
The foodie retreat is, so we're doing a Cypriot foodie cooking workshop thing during the weekend at the Hunter Valley. So we're cooking on the Friday night and I'm making breakfast for everyone on the Saturday and the Sunday. And then Saturday afternoon, we've got a wine tour and a mezze at a winery. And then we're making, what are we making? I've got macaroni al forno on the menu. I've got sotaliers, Cypriot bites. What else have we got? We've got a few things. And then, yeah, Sunday, we're just, you know, having breakfast and chilling. So it's a nice little getaway to get involved with some cooking, learn some Cypriot recipes. I'm going to try and put in so many Cypriot touches. Like, I'm working hard in doing all the little extras and just making everyone feel special. And yeah, just it'll be really lovely to just meet people that I've connected with on Insta, you know, in real life.
That sounds great. That sounds like it'll be a great, fun opportunity. Is there anything that like you would like people to hear about, like being a blogger yourself?
Look, if you're thinking of starting a blog or an Instagram page or, you know, around anything that you enjoy, around anything you have a passion about, I reckon the best advice or tip I would share is make sure it stays a passion. So don't turn your passion project into a pain project. Make sure you're enjoying it. Don't worry about numbers. Don't worry about followers. Don't worry about engagement numbers. Just share what you love and there will always be someone that is interested. And if you're, you know, don't let the main objective be growth. Just make sure you continue to enjoy it. Otherwise, you take the joy out of it. What's the point?
Did you have any, like when you created the blog, was there any inspiration like behind it?
Oh, 100%. Like whenever I cook something, I've either got my yaya or my mum in mind. Oh, my yaya is such a special person to me. I'm her first granddaughter. So she always tells me, you say, you brought him a rabbi. Oh, and I make sure all my cousins know it too. Yeah. Mum's actually just popped to Cyprus on a bit of an emergency run to see yaya. She's had her second jab and she felt a bit unwell. Like, she's 93. So she's going to react, but she's doing all right, bless her. Like, it's funny because she goes, as Yaya was being taken to hospital, she goes to my uncle, the first thing she can think of.
I love that.
Perfume in my bag.
That's so good.
Little madam.
But I feel like that's something my mum would do though. Yeah. I feel like it's very like Cypriot, like that sort of just
but make sure you smell fresh.
Yeah. You don't want people to think that like you're not gonna smell like
Tallo, she's a legend, man. She's my most favorite person on this earth. Yeah, I got to spend just before Corona happened, I got to spend a good week with her. It was just me and her in the house. We were cooking together, eating together, and just hanging out. Like the best time I've ever had with her. And I'd go to Cyprus every summer. Being in London,
Mum
would send me on my own for 6 weeks and be like, "Ade, fie, bienne."
That's the best. So, like, I wish that the distance between like us and Cyprus wasn't this far, because like it's always like when I first turned 18 was really like. As soon as I turned 18, I was like, bye, mum, bye, 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 I'm going to Cyprus. And I would go like every year until I moved to Melbourne. And just because all my first cousins are there and my yaya, like everyone was there. So it's the best part. Like it was just so good being able to go. Like I would go every summer too, and like we're far. So that I feel like that's pretty much everything I wanted to. Oh, one thing that I've asked everyone, and I love it that it's like a food blog now because I can actually ask you when it's relevant. But what's your favorite Greek Cypriot sort of dish?
Oh, it's the hardest question you can ask me.
I know. Desi struggled too. She's like, I can't pick just one. And I'm like, yes, you can.
Look, I'll tell you one that I love cooking. I love making for people because the amount of love that I put into this dish is like next level. And if I make this for you, you know I love you. And it's because it takes a little while and you need to put the TLC in. You need to, you know, put that love in. When you cook
really
food without
love. I'm like, what is it?
I'm not going to lie. Like if I make you macaroni al forno, it's just because it's so many layers and the mincemeat, you need to spend a bit of time on it. And you know how we all say, like, oh, Yael's food's the best.
Yeah.
I think I know what their secret is. And I think it's because they cook slowly and patiently. They don't rush. We're all, like, rushing to get things done, a million things an hour. But Yael cooks – well, my Yael Talo cooks on a small flame because her cooker's so old. But she doesn't rush it. And, of course, she's got all the time in the world – she cooks slowly and it tastes so much better. So I make sure that mincemeat is cooked so slowly and is so juicy and has all those flavors. And then the bechamel, that halloumi bechamel, is just to die for. Like I could eat that stuff out of the pot.
Oh, so you put halloumi in your pasticcio?
Hell yeah.
I love it because so many people don't. And like our family puts halloumi in our pasticcio as well. And I'm like, you can't have pasticcio without halloumi. No, but even like it's villages as well, I think, because even like I have a lot of like Cypriot friends and stuff and they don't put it in their pasticcio. Really?
I reckon it's because they've been influenced by the Greeks too much.
Maybe. That's probably true. Because that's true. Like, pasticcio without halloumi, I'm like, is it even pasticcio really? Or like macaroni de forno.
There's halloumi in the macaroni, so halloumi and mint.
Yeah,
and you've got juicy mince. So I use pork mince. And I only found this out the other day.
Like, all the Kibre do. Like, all my family in Cyprus, they all do pork.
They cook with pork. And I found out why the other day because beef or cows never made it to Cyprus until later on. So all our dishes are predominantly made of pork.
Yeah.
Like, our kibre's, mincemeat.
Everything's
So you've got that layer of mincemeat and you've got the halloumi bechamel and then I sprinkle extra halloumi on top so it gets crispy when it bakes in the oven.
Yeah. Mum puts halloumi in between each layer.
Ooh. Enough halloumi.
Halloumi all over the pasticcio.
Just pour it into my mouth.
Literally, my Goronio del Forno is one of my favorites too. Do you know what? I feel special because now I can rewind back to the beginning when you said, you come over, I'll make you Goronio del Forno. And then you said, it's because they're special. I'm just going to take that, all right?
It's gorgeous. So next time you're in Sydney, I'm going to have to make it for you.
Yeah, yeah. And then because at the end of the, like, look at that progression. At the start of the podcast, you're like, I'll make you Goronio del Forno. And then at the end of the podcast, you're like, I only make it if I really care about you.
Yeah. It's true.
But no, honestly, I thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I really appreciate it, like the time that you've taken out to talk
to me.
My
pleasure. I've had so much fun yakking with you. It's been lovely. I'll talk food any day.
You can find more episodes on GreekCityTimes.com or Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. You can also find us on Greeks of the Globe on Instagram.